flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully, wherever you are safe and you are warm. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good over here, Andy Bunker, on a hump day on the midday show. And like you said, hopefully everybody is safe and got to your destinations, because it was crazy last night.
Yes, it was.
Especially when we got home, man. It was just, you know, it was just one of them things. And I know we were making joke, but I mean, like, my wife left work at 4:30. My wife came home at 8 o'clock last night.
Yep.
You know, I was so worried all night. I was like, somebody in this neighborhood got a four-wheeler. I was going to have to bit my wife, dog. I mean, literally, because like, she was just like, people were leaving their cars.
You're
on the road.
You're going to pull a Chipper Jones.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get my baby. I was going to get her. But luckily, you know, stuff kind of evened out and people started moving out the way and stuff like that. And she finally got home, man. But, yeah, it was a crazy night, man, with this weather. Again, not knowing that it was going to be like it was going to be. You know, and then I know texting y'all yesterday afternoon, you're going and everything like that, and how crazy it was. So glad you guys are safe, and just hopefully everybody else is too.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of, because it just didn't look bad. You know,
right.
It wasn't snowing that hard. So it was really easy to talk yourself into like, all right, we'll be fine. We'll get there. And it wasn't even snowing really at our house, because it seemed like so much of the weather kind of split down 85. Like if you were south of 85, in you know, obviously that's a diagonal direction, but anything south of 85 kind of got hit with snow. Anything north of it kind of didn't. And so we were north of it, and it was like, oh, that's fine. All we got to do is drive to Midtown. But we wanted to make sure we could get down here just so my wife didn't have to drive in the middle of the night to go to work. And glad we came when we did, because good Lord, man. Like, it went, because we started driving and nothing really had happened yet. And by the time we got to, you know where Topgolf is over there?
Yeah.
Off Marietta? Like, I mean, people were just slip sliding everywhere. Like, if you came to a stop on a hill, you were screwed, unless you had the right car. But like, if you're out there in just a regular sedan or, you know, two wheel drive, whatever it is, like, you came to a stop on a hill, up or down, you were probably screwed one way or the other. And like on Atlanta Road, right there at the bottom of Atlanta Road where it turns to Marietta, we saw 15 accidents. Like, people just, and then nothing crazy, luckily, but like, people just sliding into each other and you're trying to get off the road to go deal with it, whatever. I mean, it was just people piled up all over the place. And we finally made it to Midtown, and the hotel we were staying at was on 10th. And so we were driving across 14th, and then we cut up Spring, and Spring is enough of an upslope. It was a hockey rink. I mean, it was just straight up ice. And we got like halfway up it, and there was a public parking lot on the left side of the road. I was like, just pull in there. Pull in there and park. Whatever. I don't care how much it costs. It's worth it. We got in there, and then again, like, five cars slid into each other, like, right as we did that. So it was like, yeah, man, it was sneaky bad out there yesterday.
Yeah, and this morning, I'm like, okay, first of all, my whole car was frozen. The windshield had thick-ass ice over here.
Sure.
It took forever to defrost. So I'm like, let me just see what's going on up here outside the neighborhood. And y'all know that big-ass hill that you got to go up to leave my neighborhood and come in. Andy, I'm trying, first of all, when I'm pulling out the driveway, and I'm sliding. And then I'm going down this hill that goes up to the hill. I get up there, and I'm just sliding. And so I just try to, you know, tap the brakes. And next, you know, I'm just sliding. The truck is sliding back.
There's nothing you can do.
And then damn near ran into my neighbor's lawn. You know, that light pole right there. Just missed that with the back of the truck. So I was like, I don't know about this, man.
Yeah, we're good. I think we'll just stay home.
Yeah, man.
Got the remote set up in Lilburn. Stay up there. It's all good. Because the thing is, like, look, I mean, when it's like that, there's really nothing you can do. And people try to act tough, and it's like, oh, you don't know how to drive in this. It's like, dude, it's an icy road. Like, nobody really knows how to drive in it.
But it's, because my butt going to get up there. Let me see, just walk then. Let me just walk up here. And Andy, you know when you're slipping and you're about to fall back on your ass?
Yeah.
That happened twice with me walking up this hill in front of my house to get out of the damn neighborhood.
Right, exactly. It's ice. Yeah. There's nothing you could do. But the problem is, you know, I felt like 95% of the people that were out there yesterday were like, all right, this is getting bad. It's worse than I thought it was going to be. Let's be really careful. Go slower. You try to never stop. You know what I mean? If you can creep to the hill and keep rolling just a little so your tires never stop so you don't have to restart. But then there's that one person, always in a Nissan Altima, who thinks that car is all terrain. Like, because not only is that the car they want to race like Hellcats in on the highway, it's also apparently a snowmobile. Like that guy comes blaring in the right lane trying to pass everybody, like, all these people are all idiots, and then you just watch them slide off the road into a light pole, and it's like, man, all right, there you go,
them damn baby Maltimas,
damn Nissan Altima drivers, man. I swear to God, it's not just racing on the freeway, it's also in the snow too. It's all weather. But anyway, that was yesterday. Now what we don't know is, because I mean, everything was pretty much shut down today, right? Like, there's no school for kids.
Nope. Right? My wife's office closed for the day, so Yeah.
If you don't have to, and I know there's people out there, because, look, I get it. There's jobs where you have to, and part of some jobs are driving. So if you're out there driving around, thanks for having us with you. We appreciate that. If you don't have to, obviously don't. Don't know what's going to happen with the Hawks game tonight. They got a 7:30 tip-off against the Pistons here in town. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, the game against the Rockets was postponed. That'll be played later this month. I think by then, probably most of the major roads will be salted and cleared and all that kind of stuff. But you never know. So we'll keep an eye on it.
Did the Pistons, like, ride a bus in?
It's a good question.
I saw pictures.
They must
of
have
them.
Got in early.
I saw them in pictures. They were their Buckies, it looked like, on 75.
Oh, really?
So I'm like, did they ride a bus here or something like that?
All right, hang on. Let me look, because I got their little page pulled up.
I saw it because their Twitter stuff was showing. It looked like they were in Buckies.
Well, they played Houston.
Right.
They played Houston Monday. So, and it was at Houston. So I guess they could have rode a bus from Houston to here.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would have been right through all the worst parts of it. So that probably wouldn't have been very smart, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I kept looking and got, you know, you get that algorithm or something, and it was showing the Detroit Pistons, you know, their Twitter page, and it looked like they were in Buc-ee's.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know if they had to ride a bus or what over here, but hopefully the game gets played tonight. You know, you just never know and everything. And I know if they're being from Detroit, I know they're just giggling and chuckling like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
You guess a little half inch?
Really? Really?
Little half inch of snow's got the city shut down?
Yeah.
Yeah, leave us alone. We're not used to it.
Yeah, man. But yeah, you know, they're probably up there gaggling and laughing at us and everything.
We got two, like, once in a decade weather events in a 2-week period of time. All right? The city's not built for it. It's fine. Every city's built different for different kind of stuff. This city does great with heat, okay? It does great it does great with events. The huge events get put on here all the time, and the city does an incredible job with all of the events. Now, people that were at the airport yesterday trying to leave after the national championship game might say, not so fast. Maybe you don't do so great with events. Whatever, that's different. Leave me alone. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're in Buc-ee's now. Yeah, they definitely are in Buc-ee's.
Maybe they took a little sightseeing trip.
Maybe.
Up 75.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because everything else was closed. They were like, all right, everybody pile in the buses. We're driving up to, where is it? Where is that? Like Lawrenceville? Carter'sville?
It's close to Carter'sville. Yeah, somewhere in that area.
We're going that way. Everybody in. I don't know. But look, we're not a good cold weather city. It's fine. Some cities, you know, we're great at most stuff.
I mean,
we're not good at it.
I've been through the you know, obviously the one that happened years ago and everything like that. I remember the damn ice storm during the Super Bowl. And I just remember, because I was still in college then, and we were trying to get up here to go party in the damn Super Bowl. And just it was one of those things where that's back when you didn't, you know, you had your college car still.
Oh, yeah. That car's not built for snow.
Yeah, you had your college car.
Bald-ass tires,
yeah, exactly.
Front-wheel drive.
And your ass tried to get up at the party with all these NFL players, and the ass sliding all the way down, slid from 316 to damn Buford.
Yeah, that's you might as well have sweated here.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like too. Yeah, but yeah, like you said, we're not built for it. But again, if you're out there listening, we would just be careful, and we do appreciate you, man, because you know it's always funny because the Northerners. I know Devin out there in Kansas City probably gonna send us a picture of what it's like in Kansas City. It's supposed to snow like that in Kansas City, Devin.
Yeah, exactly. Supposed to. Here's my thing, because my wife, we parked the car and we were walking to the hotel yesterday, and she was like making fun of the people who were driving, and I was like, well, how are they supposed to learn, like? The only way you learn how to drive in conditions like that is to drive in conditions like that, right? Like, there's no part of driver's ed where they're like, all right, now we're going to ice over the road and we're going to teach you how to do it. The only way to do it is to drive in, and she went to college in the mountains. She grew up in the mountains. They have snow sometimes. She knows what she's doing. I was like, cut these folks a break, man. They don't know how to do it. They never learned how to do it. Now, again, if you don't know how, you should probably try to stay off the roads. And I understand not everybody can do that because you got places to go and all that and jobs. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, Sherrod from Decatur don't get this stuff, man.
He doesn't know what
you know what I'm saying?
Unfamiliar with the terrain. Unfamiliar with the terrain. How? I mean, again, and maybe now after the last couple of weeks of this, people are going to be better at it. My suggestion would be just to avoid it if you can at all costs. But, yeah, man, leave people in Atlanta alone.
Yeah, but
it's slippery out there.
Yeah,
we're doing our best.
Yeah, but I mean, probably in the next couple of hours, if they do decide to postpone or cancel the game, it'll probably come up. Hopefully, but maybe on our show.
Yeah, hopefully they say they're not gonna,
right.
And then we can make that announcement. Because honestly, like, I know maybe people have been, maybe they haven't. The Pistons are pretty good. Like, they're a fun basketball team.
You know what you remember what you said this last week, man, about Cade Cunningham. Man, this dude's healthy.
Yeah, he's an all-star.
This dude is an all-star player. I don't realize how big him and, like, Vancaro and these dudes are. These are some big young men. And so, you know, he's coming in and trying to do the right thing around him. He's trying to, like, build around because he's a franchise player, you know, with his skill set and everything like that. But I'm with you. I think that – you know, when you think of the Pistons, you think of, like, 2 years ago Pistons. Like, didn't they have, like, a 43-game losing streak or something?
Yeah.
Like, 2 years ago?
Yeah. I mean,
or something like that?
You know, they got him in the draft, the number one pick in the draft. It was number one or number two, I don't remember, but it was a couple years ago.
He was one. I think Jalen was two.
Okay.
The green kid.
And it was, you know, all right, you got this guy who had a great year in college, and everybody thought he was going to be this, you know, this kind of franchise-altering player, and he's just been hurt. Like, he's been hurt a ton early in his career, missed most of last season. So then, yeah, I mean, he's actually able to play this year. And again, the Pistons have been so bad for so long.
Yes.
Like, obviously, they have the culture of what they did in the 80s and all that, and then they had the run with Chauncey Billups and those guys in the early 2000s. But, like, since then, they've been terrible.
Yes.
Like, year after year after year, just terrible. So much out of sight, out of mind, that I think people maybe aren't seeing what Cade Cunningham's doing. But, yeah, I mean, they got pretty much the same record as the Hawks. They're 22-21. They've been hot the last month and a half. Hawks are 22-20. So, should be a fun – and Cade Cunningham seems to always have good games against the Hawks as well. So, if they play the game tonight, which hopefully they will, should be a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's, you know, I see that Jalen Johnson's question, because that's who Jalen Johnson will be guarding for the most part of the game.
Right.
And you would love to see those two young stars. And I know I saw, you know, I guess he was on, Kate Cunningham was on the TNT show last night, you know, just talking about the rivalry between him and Jalen Green, which I love. Mm. I love the fact that these two don't like each other.
Yeah,
and they genuinely don't like each other, and they know what it is, and that's just fun basketball for these cats. You know, they grew up playing together, but they ain't got to be friends when they go out there and play. But, yeah, it should be a matchup for the Hawks. Don't know if Jalen Johnson is playing tonight, but hopefully if he is playing tonight, that should be a great matchup between them two dudes.
All right. It's an icy Wednesday here on the Midday Show with Andy
so
and Randy.
So icy.
Yeah, maybe we could do all ice-themed songs today. There's so many of them.
No.
There's
no
options.
Because you already know which one is going to be played.
What one?
Let It Go.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could do that one, too. Yeah. But I was thinking more of the icy kind of thing you were talking about.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. But you know,
actual ice.
You know Bo and his sense of humor.
Hey, did you watch the TGL last night? They had the ice out.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I watched it.
You see that?
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Well, we're going to talk to Billy Horschel in the 12 o'clock hour. He was the guy.
Billy.
He brought the ice.
It ain't Billy.
Billy Ho. You can call him that.
No, not Billy. Billy.
Yeah, well, I think he's Billy. I think he's Billy, but they won. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
I will tell you the team is dangerous, believe it or not. The Atlanta Hawks. I think the Atlanta Hawks, they're a sleeper in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Cavs and the Celtics and the Knicks. Well, the Cavs and the Celtics, they're top tier. I do think the Knicks need to make a trade to get stronger on the bench. I know they're getting Mitchell Robinson back or something.
Can the Hawks win the championship?
I don't know.
Answer is no.
A championship? No.
Answer is no. Can Cleveland win a championship? Yes. I'm talking championship.
The Hawks have been impressive against those teams ahead of them. They're going into today, they were 7-2 against the top four.
Well, that was fun until Shaq jumped in, but he's right.
He is.
Probably.
No.
You never know. You never know, but probably. But I'll say this, and I know Ernie was about to throw this stat out there, too. He had it pretty close to right. Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks are the best teams in the East, no doubt, record-wise. I mean, anybody who's watched him play can see that. Hawks are 7-3 against them, and so that means, at the very least, they're able to go out there and compete. And
not embarrass themselves.
Not embarrass, and certainly have won a lot of those games. And what does sleeper mean? You know, like if Shaq's going to just do a bottom line of can they win a championship and that's the only thing that can validate the conversation, well, then probably not. Can you win a playoff series or two? Like, can you find a way to, I don't know, get back to a conference finals or something like that? That feels like a pretty high ceiling. I don't know if that's doable this year or not, but kind of fun that that's even in the conversation given what we thought the season was going
to
look like.
Well, I think the biggest thing for the Hawks is not to be in the play-in round yet, Andy.
Yeah, got to get out of the play-in.
You know, get out of the play-in round, and then you go from there and everything like that. But, yeah, they're a feisty team that, you know, when you look at, you know, Cleveland and Boston, they're definitely head and shoulders. The Knicks with bench, I mean, they don't use them. They play their starters 40-plus minutes
a
game.
Why would they even make a trade for a guy off the bench? Tibbs isn't going
to
use him.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we all know what's going to happen with them, what happens to them, it happens to most Tibbs teams. They burn out, they run out of gas.
The wheels are going to fall.
Yeah, they just run out of gas. It's inevitable because it always happens for the most part. And so, yeah, when you look at where the Hawks are in the East, yeah, they can contend, they can compete, but at the same time, compete for championships, I don't see that, but I want to see this team not in the playing round. I think that was my talk, especially when we got an opportunity to see what this team could possibly look like when everybody's here, when everybody's healthy, and everything like that. And when everybody's healthy, I do think this is a outside of the bubble type team.
Yeah, I think they're a top six team in the East when fully healthy, and right now they are. They're at the sixth spot.
Right,
they're a half game ahead of the Pistons, who they play tonight. So beating the Pistons would kind of be double helpful tonight. The Magic have sort of been slipping of late. They've lost they've lost 7 out of their last 10 games, and they're dealing with tons of injuries over there. The Heat are in the ninth spot right now, and they got to do something with Jimmy Butler this season falls apart.
Did you see all that stuff that happened yesterday with Phoenix trying to get all these picks? Yeah. Like, something's going on.
Oh, yeah, you know, Phoenix is trying to make it work.
Yeah, they're going to have to get multiple teams in. Then I saw Bradley Beal wants to go to the Milwaukee Bucks, so how's that work? They say he'll waive his no-trade clause to go to the Bucks.
Okay.
So I'm just like, well, I mean, Phoenix, we know this. Phoenix wants Jimmy Butler, and it seems like Jimmy Butler wants Phoenix.
And in this era of NBA – That means Jimmy will play for Phoenix at some point. It's just a matter of the general managers and the agents and players with no trade clauses and teams that don't have draft picks. Like you said yesterday, Phoenix traded What did they trade to Utah? Because I saw that they got three draft picks back. They only had one first rounder in the next 8 years. How did they get three for? Did they trade a guy?
Like it's crazy when you look at it because you're like, okay, it's 2025, and how valuable is a 31 pick?
It's not. That's why it's not. It's a throw-in in a trade.
That's what always just throws me off. I'm like, what else is valuable in it? Let me find it right here. Sham says, the Phoenix Suns are trading a 2031 first-round pick.
The Jazz for three first-round picks?
Yep. It's unprotected. First to the Jazz.
Oh, okay,
unprotected to the Jazz for three first-round picks.
That
the Suns
are
acquiring the least favorable first-round picks of 2025, all of those stuff. So it's unprotected.
And the Jazz just have tons of picks.
Yes,
so they can do this kind of stuff. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But, yeah, that was Phoenix trying to clear the deck a little bit to figure it out to get Jimmy over there. You said it, and it's true. It's going to take like a three- or four-team trade.
Yeah.
Because Bradley Beal's got $100 million remaining on his contract.
And so what I read this morning
and
about
a bad
that,
back.
They were talking about some, well, they got to have more assets if you're the Bucks to take on. It's 3 years left in the contract. I thought, I could have swore he was close to the end of it. It's 3 years left on the 251.
It's amazing how long a max deal is when the guy's not playing.
I agree
well.
With you. I
versus
agree with
how
you.
Short it feels when the guy's playing well.
Yeah, because this is Bradley's second max.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a man who's made a lot of money. And forever he didn't leave Washington. It was like, man, why doesn't Bradley Beal want to leave Washington? Because they're going to give him a max contract. He's the only team, if he sticks around, he can not play with a bad back, and he's going to get a max contract from him. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the Hawks, maybe that's how the Hawks can sort of find their way into that five-team trade and finagle a backup point guard out of it. Or, you know, they've moved Capella to the bench. So maybe they're thinking a little bit more long-term and trying to find themselves like a stretch five to throw in there since Capella and Okongwu were so similar in terms of how they play the center position. I don't know. But I would imagine the Hawks will do something over the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline on the horizon. All right, let's hear the Hall of Fame announcements last night for Major League Baseball.
Our first electee was a 10-time Major League All-Star, a 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, and a 2-time American League batting champion. Today, Ichiro Suzuki becomes a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Our second member of the class of 2025 won 251 games and struck out 3,093 batters. Today, CC Sabathia becomes a member of the Hall of Fame. Final member of the class of 2025 played 16 seasons for the Astros, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox, and Braves. Today, Billy Wagner joins the Hall of Fame family.
There you go. Congratulations to Ichiro, obviously to Billy Wagner and CC Sabathia, all deserving Hall of Fame candidates, except according to one guy.
I mean, and we go through this so much, you know, as far as
one voter.
And it's crazy because a lot of these dudes been voting for the Hall of Fame for 50 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And they probably don't even watch ball. I don't like him. You know, I don't get it, man. But I mean, I don't get it, but I do get it. And that's one of those things where, why don't you just show who you are then?
Well, they will. He will.
What I mean? And go at it from that way and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, Ichiro was an outstanding player. Obviously, you know more about that because you were up there for the prime time Ichiro. And listening to the update, I didn't realize he was the first Japanese, non-pitcher to start, I think that what it said, or something like that, in the bigs.
And he's the first Asian Hall of Famer.
I know that part, but I mean, it's crazy because he was such a great player. We know how good CC was, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just that dude, big
dude,
mowing people down and everything
so
like that.
So much fun to watch.
And he is big. I bumped into him, and he is big. He's bigger than me, Andy. And if you I was like, damn, who the hell is that? And I was like, oh, I think that's CC Sabathia.
Oh, that's a baseball player?
Dude, that dude is big as hell, man. He really is. And, of course, Wagner, he was an outstanding relief. Was he a relief pitcher, right?
Yeah, he's a closer.
Yeah, closer. And he finished up here. I know
that's
that.
Right.
And everything like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, the whole baseball Hall of Fame thing is one of those things where it just, for some reason, won't completely grow up.
Nope.
You won't completely grow up.
Now, we knew it was going to be something like this
because
there's only been one unanimous player ever.
Maybe he likes closers.
Maybe he just likes closers. I bet he voted for Billy Wagner.
I bet he did, too.
I was wondering because remember when Griffey went in, there was two people that didn't vote for him. I wonder if the one person that didn't vote for Ichiro is one of the two guys that also didn't vote for Griffey.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just unimpressed.
But, at what point do you got to die out of your vote?
That's a great question, because there's a lot of voters.
It's like three. It's like
there's like hundreds like, and like, hundreds of voters.
I think it's like damn near 400 voters that vote on the.
I thought it was more than that.
But I'm saying, like, why do you need all these people to vote? And then and that's what I'm saying. Like, at what point does your vote like expire?
Right. Is it a lifetime appointment? Is it a Supreme Court situation?
Say for instance, because I'm pretty sure these guys were journalists. Not were, because you'll always be a journalist, but meaning working for a paper or something like that.
Right.
They probably retired, most of them.
Yeah.
They should yank their damn votes.
I agree. If you're not actively covering
the
sport.
Give it to Timmy Tuesday. Hey, Ma! You know I got my Hall of Fame vote!
You know who Timmy would have voted for?
Ishiro to be what?
And Felix Hernandez.
Yeah. Yes. And
because
Felix.
His advanced stats are off the charts.
Yes. And Barry Bonds would be in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and all those guys. Like
Timmy doesn't care about steroids.
Hell no, man. take old Herbert Schwellenshank. Take his damn vote away from him, all right? And give it to Timmy.
Yeah, if your name's Herbert, you're not allowed to vote for the Hall of Fame anymore.
Yeah, man. Meanwhile,
Andrew Jones creeps closer to Cooperstown. 5% more this year than he got last year. He got 66% of the vote. You got to get 75% to get in. He's got two more years on
the
ballot.
He'll get there.
Apparently, over the next 2 years, Andrew Jones' career is going to improve.
Yeah, in order I love for that these part, guys. Yeah.
It's just the stupidest thing.
Because the thing about it is the same people vote.
Yeah.
If it was a different brand,
right.
Then okay.
Right.
But the same people that voted this year,
yeah.
if Herbert them don't die and get their vote away, are going to vote 2 years again, and Andrew Jones is going to be on the ballot.
Yeah,
and
like,
they're going to let him in.
People that voted against Andrew Jones being in the Hall of Fame 8 times will vote for him to be in the Hall of Fame the 9th time.
Yes.
Having played no more baseball games.
Yes.
This is the stupidest thing in the entire world.
Yes.
It does give you an opportunity once a year, if you want to go back and just look at the insane run that Andrew Jones went on when he was here in Atlanta. Like, some of those years are just completely outrageous. Offensively, meanwhile, being the best defensive center fielder in baseball at the same time. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what we're doing. I guess I do know what we're doing. I just think it's dumb. Andrew Jones should have been in the Hall of Fame already.
Yep.
He'll get there eventually, and then, you know, everybody will forget that it took this long for him to get in. But it's just annoying that he's not in the Hall of Fame yet because he deserves to be.
I will tell you the team that's dangerous, believe it or not, the Atlanta Hawks. I think the Atlanta Hawks, they're a sleeper in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Cavs and the Celtics and the Knicks. Well, the Cavs and the Celtics, they're top tier. I do think the Knicks need to make a trade to get stronger on the bench. I know they're getting Mitchell Robinson back or something.
Can the Hawks win the championship?
I don't know.
Answer is no.
A championship? No.
Answer is no. Can Cleveland win a championship? Yes. That's what I'm talking. I'm talking championship.
The Hawks have been impressive against those teams ahead of them. They're going into today, they were 7-2 against the top four.
Well, that was fun until Shaq jumped in, but he's right.
He is.
Probably.
No.
You never know, but probably. But I'll say this, and I know Ernie was about to throw this stat out there too. He had it pretty close to right. Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks are the best teams in the East, no doubt, record-wise. I mean, anybody who's watched him play can see that. Hawks are 7-3 against him. And so that means at the very least they're able to go out there and compete and
not embarrass themselves.
Not embarrass, and certainly have won a lot of those games. And so what does sleeper mean? You know, like if Shaq's going to just do a bottom line of can they win a championship and that's the only thing that can validate the conversation, well, then probably not. Can you win a playoff series or two? Like, can you find a way to, I don't know, get back to a conference finals or something like that? That feels like a pretty high ceiling. I don't know if that's doable this year or not, but kind of fun that that's even in the conversation, given what we thought the season was going to look like.
Well, I think the biggest thing for the Hawks is not to be in the play-in round yet, Andy.
Yeah, got to get out of the play-in.
You know, get out of the play-in round, and then you go from there and everything like that. But, yeah, they're a feisty team that, you know, when you look at, you know, Cleveland and Boston, they're definitely head and shoulders. The Knicks, with bench, I mean, they don't use them. They play their starters 40-plus minutes
a
game.
Why would they even make a trade for a guy off the bench? Tibbs isn't going
to
use him.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we all know what's going to happen with them, what happens to them. It happens to most Tibbs teams. They burn out. They run out of gas.
The wheels are going to fall.
Yeah, they just run out of gas. It's inevitable because it always happens for the most part. And so, yeah, when you look at where the Hawks are in the East, yeah, they can contend. They can compete. But at the same time, compete for championships, I don't see that. But I want to see this team not in the playing round. I think that was my talk, especially when we got an opportunity to see what this team could possibly look like when everybody's here, when everybody's healthy and everything like that. And when everybody's healthy, I do think this is a – not outside, though, the – outside of the bubble type team.
Yeah, I think they're a top six team in the East when fully healthy. And right now they are. They're at the sixth spot.
Right.
They're a half game ahead of the Pistons, who they play tonight. So beating the Pistons would kind of be double helpful tonight. The Magic have sort of been slipping of late. They've lost seven out of their last 10 games, and they're dealing with tons of injuries over there. The Heat are in the ninth spot right now, and they got to do something with Jimmy Butler immediately before this season falls apart.
Did you see all that stuff that happened yesterday with Phoenix? Trying to get all these picks. Yeah. Like, something's going on.
Oh, yeah, you know, Phoenix is trying to make it work.
Yeah, they're going to have to get multiple teams in. Then I saw Bradley Beal wants to go to the Milwaukee Bucks. So, how's that work? They say he'll waive his no-trade clause to go to the Bucks.
Okay.
So, I'm just like, well, I mean, Phoenix, we know this. Phoenix wants Jimmy Butler, and it seems like Jimmy Butler wants Phoenix.
And in this era of NBA, that means Jimmy will play for Phoenix at some point. It's just a matter of the general managers and the agents and players with no trade clauses and teams that don't have draft picks. Like you said yesterday, Phoenix traded what did they trade to Utah? Because I saw that they got three draft picks back. They only had one first rounder in the next 8 years. How did they get three for? Did they trade a guy?
Like, it's crazy when you look at it, because you're like, okay, it's 2025, and how valuable is a 31 pick?
It's not.
That's why
it's a throw-in a trade.
That's what always just throws me off. I'm like, what else is valuable in it? Let me find it right here. Sham says the Phoenix Suns are trading a 2031 first round pick.
The Jazz for three first round picks.
It's unprotected first to the Jazz.
Oh, okay, got
unprotected to the Jazz for three first round picks. The Suns are acquiring the least favorable first round picks of 2025. All of those stuff. So it's unprotected.
And the Jazz just have tons of picks,
so they can
do this kind of stuff. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. But, yeah, that was Phoenix trying to clear the deck a little bit to figure it out to get Jimmy over there. You said it, and it's true. It's going to take like a 3 or 4 team trade.
Yeah.
Because Bradley Beal's got $110 million remaining on his contract.
And so what I read this morning
and
about
a bad
that,
back.
They were talking about some, well, they got to have more assets if you're the Bucks to take on. It's 3 years left in the contract. I thought I could have swore he was close to the end of it. It's 3 years left on the 251.
It's amazing how long a max deal is when the guy's not.
I agree
well.
With you. I
versus
agree
how
you.
Short it feels when the guy's playing well.
Yeah, because this is Bradley's second max.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a man who's made a lot of money. And forever he didn't leave Washington. It was like, man, why doesn't Bradley Beal want to leave Washington? Because they're going to give him a max contract. He's the only team, if he sticks around, he can not play with a bad back, and he's going to get a max contract from him. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the Hawks – maybe that's how the Hawks can sort of find their way into that 5-team trade and – finagle a backup point guard out of it, or, you know, they've moved Capella to the bench, so maybe they're thinking a little bit more long term and trying to find themselves like a stretch five to throw in there, since Capella and Okongwu were so similar in terms of how they play the center position. I don't know, but I would imagine the Hawks will do something over the next couple of weeks with the trade deadline on the horizon. All right, let's hear the Hall of Fame announcements last night for Major League Baseball.
Our first electee was a 10-time Major League All-Star, a 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, and a 2-time American League batting champion. Today, Ichiro Suzuki becomes a member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Our second member of the class of 2025 won 251 games and struck out 3,093 batters. Today, CC Sabathia becomes a member of the Hall of Fame. Final member of the class of 2025 played 16 seasons for the Astros, Phillies, Mets, Red Sox, and Braves. Today, Billy Wagner joins the Hall of Fame family.
There you go. Congratulations to Ichiro, obviously to Billy Wagner and CC Sabathia, all deserving Hall of Fame candidates, except according to one guy.
I mean, and we go through this so much, you know, as far as
one voter.
And it's crazy because a lot of these dudes been voting for the Hall of Fame for 50 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And they probably don't even watch ball. I don't like him. You know, I don't get it, man. But I mean, I don't get it, but I do get it. And that's one of those things where, why don't you just show who you are then?
Well, he will.
And go at it from that way and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, Ichiro was an outstanding player. Obviously, you know more about that because you were up there for the prime time Ichiro. Listening to the update, I didn't realize he was the first Japanese non-pitcher to start, I think that what it said, or something like that, in the bigs.
And he's the first Asian Hall of Famer.
I know that part, but I mean, it's crazy because he was such a great player. We know how good CC was, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, it just, that dude, big
dude,
mowing people down and everything
so
like that.
So much fun to watch.
And he is big. I got a chance, I bumped into him, and he is big. He's bigger than me, Andy. And if you I was like, damn, who the hell is that? And I was like, oh, I think that's CeCe Sabathia.
Oh, that's a baseball player?
Dude, that dude is big as hell, man. He really is. And, of course, Wagner, he was an outstanding relief. Was he a relief pitcher, right?
Yeah, he's a closer.
Yeah, closer. And he finished up here, I know that's that, right. And everything like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, the whole baseball Hall of Fame thing is one of those things where it just, for some reason, won't completely grow up.
Nope.
Won't completely grow up.
Now, we knew it was going to be something like this because there's only been one unanimous player ever.
Maybe he likes closers.
Maybe he just likes closers. I bet he voted for Billy Wagner.
I bet he did, too.
I was wondering because remember when Griffey went in, there was two people that didn't vote for him. I wonder if the one person that didn't vote for Ichiro is one of the two guys that also didn't vote for Griffey. Yep. You know what I mean? Just unimpressed.
But, at what point do you got to die out of your vote?
That's a great question because there's a lot of voters.
It's like 300. It's like
there's like hundreds and hundreds of voters.
I think it's like damn near 400 voters that vote on the.
I thought it was more than that.
But I'm saying why do you need all these people to vote? And then and that's what I'm saying. At what point does your vote expire?
Right. Is it a lifetime appointment? Supreme Court situation?
Say for instance, because I'm pretty sure these guys were journalists. Not were, because you'll always be a journalist, but meaning working for a paper or something like that.
Right.
They probably retired, most of them.
Yeah.
They should yank their damn votes.
I agree. If you're not actively covering the sport.
Give it to Timmy Tuesday. Hey, Ma! I got my Hall of Fame vote!
You know who Timmy would have voted for?
Ichiro to be what?
And Felix Hernandez.
Yeah. Yes. And
because
Felix.
His advanced stats are off the charts.
Yes. And Barry Bonds would be in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and all those guys.
Timmy doesn't care about steroids.
Hell no, man. Take old Herbert Schwellenshank. Take his damn vote away from him, all right? And give it to Timmy.
Yeah, if your name's Herbert, you're not allowed to vote for the Hall of Fame anymore.
Yeah, man. Meanwhile,
Andrew Jones creeps closer Cooperstown. 5% more this year than he got last year. He got 66% of the vote. You got to get 75% to get in. He's got two more years on
the
ballot.
He'll get there.
Apparently, over the next 2 years, Andrew Jones' career is going to improve.
Yeah, in order I love for that these part.
It's just the stupidest thing.
Because the thing about it is the same people.
Yeah.
If it was a different branch, then okay.
Right.
But the same people that voted this year, if Herbert them don't die and get their vote away, are going to vote 2 years again. And Andrew Jones, they're going to let him in.
People that voted against Andrew Jones being in the Hall of Fame 8 times will vote for him to be in the Hall of Fame the 9th time.
Yes.
Having played no more baseball games.
Yes.
It's the stupidest thing in the entire world.
Yes.
It does give you an opportunity once a year, if you want to go back and just look at the insane run that Andrew Jones went on when he was here in Atlanta. Some of those years are just completely outrageous offensively, meanwhile being the best defensive center fielder in baseball at the same time. I don't know, man. I don't know what we're doing. I guess I do know what we're doing. I just think it's dumb. Andrew Jones should have been in the Hall of Fame already. Yep. He'll get there eventually, and then, everybody will forget that it took this long for him to get in. But it's just annoying that he's not in the Hall of Fame yet because he deserves to be.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, man. But, it goes back to everything you just said just a second ago. So, and that's when we talk about the Hall of Fame, first ballot, second ballot, all those different things. So he wasn't good then? Or did he decline? Did his skill set decline from –
I
think they continue to hold the back end of his career. What about the front end, the middle end?
Right, what about the front end?
What about all that stuff?
Also, and again, no need to catch strays, but look at the back end of Ichiro's career. He fell off of the face of the earth. He had 11 really good years in Seattle, and then he fell off. Kind of like Andrew Jones had 10 great years in Atlanta and kind of fell off. Andrew Jones did have one sneaky good year as a Chicago White Sox, too. No one talks about that, but it was a pretty good year. It was very bad in L.A. and very bad in New York, but the 1 year in Chicago was pretty good. All right, we'll come back. The new Falcons defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, is many things, Randy, including a fortune teller. He can see the future, and we're going to let you hear him tell you what the future was coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Whoop, whoop.
Bop, 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 bop. Hey, this hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle, we will continue reacting to some of the coaching carousel, some of the hires. And then also start looking ahead to championship weekend as well, AFC Championship, NFC Championship, coming up on Sunday. We'll get back into a couple different Falcons things, including Jeff Ulbrich being a fortune teller in just a couple minutes. You want to talk about Ichiro just for a second?
Okay.
Just for a brief second, because you mentioned, obviously, I covered him and I was there and all that. He, to me, even more so than the guy whose name I use as the example of it, is the most extreme example of like the Matt Ryan effect that I think that I've ever seen, which is the way someone is viewed nationally is so different than the way that they're viewed locally by the fans. Like you and I both kind of had this experience of coming here and having the thought we had about Matt Ryan and then kind of listening to the way Matt Ryan was talked about in Atlanta. And it was so different, right? Mm-hmm. Than what we had thought that it would be like. Like, I remember the first summer I was here driving around listening to this radio station take phone calls about whether or not, like, Matt Schaub should be taking reps with the ones at training camp and giving him a true competition. That's the year Matt Ryan won the MVP award. So I was like, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. I was like, what's happening here? But again, it happens. Like, it happens just the way someone is viewed from afar can be so different than the way that they're viewed locally. And I'm not saying Ichiro is not like a big star in the history of that team or the city in Seattle sports, but it's really different. I think a big part of the difference is they didn't win. Like, mm-hmm. they were awful. Like, the first year he was there was a great year. They won all those games. He won the MVP, and it was this just like meteoric rise to stardom. But like the totality of the 11 years, like some of those, I mean, I covered a lot of those teams at the end of his time there. And they lost 100 games, and they were non-competitive, and like he was really the only draw. He was such a draw still, though, that it encouraged the franchise to not do anything. Like, they didn't put anybody around him because people were still going, and he'd get his 200-plus hits, whatever, and they'd be terrible, and that would kind of be that. Like, and I don't know that I'll ever be a person that, like, a beat reporter again. I don't know if I'll ever be, like, in the locker room on a daily basis anymore like I was back then. But he's by far the most unusual person I've ever covered. Right. And not because of him. Like, he was, I mean, partially because of him. But just, like, the team was terrible. He always, there's always 5 to 10, like, Japanese reporters there per game. Just because he's such a huge superstar in Japan. And then, like, if the Mariners would be playing another team that had a Japanese superstar on it, there'd be, like, 30 reporters there covering the game. He did all the interviews, every single interview post-game in Japanese, which is fine. He had an interpreter and did it like that. But that's also, like, a little bit of a, you know, that's, like, a little bit of a hurdle between fans and a player when there's that kind of language barrier. And, it, you know, he's also just kind of a unique guy. Kind of like a fashion icon, you know.
Oh, he like
dressed weird.
He was like like Russell Westbrook weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he'd wear like you know, I remember like one time he had like sneakers on that were yellow, but they were like high heeled kind of.
Oh.
And they laced up like to the calf, and you know he'd wear like silver jumpsuits.
Nice.
Like he was going to space sometimes. Like it was real, fashionable. I'm sure in some circles, but like I was like, that is kind of weird, you know. And then by the end of it, he was kind of traveling on his own plane, he had like a private plane for him and his family. So yeah, it got weird. And again, like they didn't win. They didn't win a lot of games. So you're gonna if you ever like talk to a Mariners fan about, oh yeah, Ichiro in the Hall of Fame, that's awesome. You're gonna get like a whole variety of reactions. Like some people are like, yes, my favorite player ever. I loved watching him. And other people are like, yeah, all right, yeah.
I just remember he
hit a lot of singles.
I remember it was a phenomenon around him when he came in.
Oh, yeah.
I will always remember when he initially got to the bigs and just all the eyes and everything was on him. And I mean, this dude was he. I mean, and then you think about just from coming from over there. I mean, you think about all the stars that came from over there to come in and play in these leagues. Remember, you remember Yao Ming came?
Oh yeah.
And how crazy that was.
Yeah.
And that scene, and then I was in Miami, living in Miami when Jeremy Lin was that little 2 week phase of Jeremy Lin, and how crazy it was. And then he came down there and them damn Heat was like, not today, pimping.
Linsanity is over.
Yeah. It ended on Linsanity ended on South Beach.
Yeah.
All right, by the way, but no, I mean, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You were more closer to it than any of us were down here and everything. From what we thought, how can you not love this dude? Everybody else seemed like everybody else did.
Yeah, I know. Nationally, just an absolute darling. So not nationally, internationally.
Yeah.
Like, dude's a global icon. Locally, like, if you asked a Mariners, and this may be excessive, but, like, make, like, a Mount Rushmore or whatever, he's probably on it.
Right.
But he's not the first person you're saying.
Oh, no. I mean, Griffey's always that guy.
And he might not be the second person you're saying.
Randy Johnson.
And might not be the third person you're saying.
What, A-Rod?
No, probably not A-Rod.
Edgar?
It got ugly there. Edgar, Felix Hernandez.
Felix Hernandez, right.
People still love Alvin Davis. People probably don't know who that is, but like Mr. Mariner from back in the day. Like, yeah, like, it's a weird thing that kind of only happens in sports where it happens in college football a lot. I think we talked about this earlier this year about the way that, like, the national media perceives a coach versus the way that the immediate fan base might perceive the coach. And if they're aligned, then that's either really good news or really bad news for the coach. Everybody hates him or everybody loves him. But a lot of times it's different. Like, a lot of times from, like, with Ryan Day, like, I was like, well, clearly he's a good coach, and would be crazy to move on from him. People in Ohio are like, no, fire him.
But I think a lot of times, and I'll say I'm guilty sometimes of myself and other people taking that narrative right there and not really knowing. Because I think Brian is a really good coach. Mm-hmm. But from the narrative that I hear from up there, he should be fired. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily of my opinion. It's right. Just because that's what usually happens, you know, between the Ohio State and Michigan type. I think Brian is a hell of a football coach. And so, you know, you look at it from that standpoint, because you're not there. I'm not up in Ohio. I don't listen to Ohio radio and all those different things. I get feedback from the fans that are Ohio State fans and people who are fans of that Big Ten area, mm-hmm. and talk about, you know, and you also see it. But the fact is that, you know, if you don't win these games, he's not as popular as you think he is.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. I thought, you know, the dude got all his winning percentage and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But then you look at other coaches that have been fired because they lost the Michigan game or they lost the Ohio State game.
Yeah, in the end, we say this a million times. We'll continue to say it until it's not true, but it'll never not be true. The only thing that matters is winning.
That's it.
And winning the right games also.
In certain instances.
It gets very specific in college football because there are certain games that you absolutely have to win in terms of rivalries. Just to sort of bring it back to Ichiro, that's the part of it that is complicated because they didn't win anything. Like, again, his first year there, they won 116 games and didn't even make it to the World Series, and that's as close as they got to anything. Like, by the end, it was awful. Like, you know, it was him hitting singles and, you know, 100 losses.
like I said, him hitting singles.
Which is another part of it, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not moments. Like, sometimes with these great players, like, you have these obvious highlight moments or a signature thing or whatever. Like, what's Ichiro's signature thing? He kind of slaps it to the third base and runs hard, right?
Yeah, I mean, but again, that's what you saw it on a daily basis. Yeah. All of us, when it was a highlight.
Right, but what's your moment?
I don't really have one.
Because there aren't any.
Yeah, I really don't have one. But that's, again, didn't pay that much attention. You're more in on it than me. So to me, it sounds like you're saying that he should not have been a 100.
No, he absolutely should be. He is an incredible player, like one of one, like just deserves every accolade that he gets for sure. It got to everybody gets tired of everything. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what the situation is. He was so good. It wasn't his fault they didn't put anybody around him. And then by the end of it, people were like, cool, another single. You know? It's like, well, he lost 8-2 today, and Ichiro went 3-for-4 with 3 infield singles. Great. Cool. Let's go do it again tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Because
it wasn't, you know, at least home runs. Like, we lost 8-5, but he hit two home runs.
He hit two solo homers.
Yeah, he hit two solo homers, so there's like a highlight that you can get behind. All right, here's Jeff Ulbrich, the new Falcons defensive coordinator from 5 years ago.
Oh, God.
Because remember, he was the Falcons defensive coordinator five years ago. Time is a flat circle. We go from Ulbrich to Dean Pease to Nielsen to Jimmy Lake back to Ulbrich. Just hang around long enough. History will repeat itself. Here's Ulbrich talking about Raheem 5 years ago.
I wanted to, this might be my last opportunity with you guys, just give my endorsement of Raheem Morris, just as a head coach, whether it's here or somewhere else. Like in this day and age, this current player, this current culture in the NFL, like, there's not a better candidate, in my opinion. He is like, you have to have the ability to relate to the current player. You have to have the ability to create an environment for the current player that is, football's not played the same way. And he's one of those rare guys that has that ability to create the environment that's necessary.
There you have it.
He's absolutely correct, in my opinion. You know, but not, and I meaning that the relatability. Now, you still got to go out there and damn win.
That's all you got to do.
You know, and
because
that's all
again,
you got to really do.
That's what everybody said about Raheem when he got hired, including fans and people that cover the team. The vibe's different, all that. Yeah. And now they went 8-9, and he's too much of a player's coach.
Exactly. So that's why.
Again, all that matters is winning.
That's the most important thing, is winning and things like that. And he's going to have his hands full with this defense as far as with the personnel who they have on this field, because, you know, they need work on this defense, and they need help bad. And I was looking at rundowns like, you know, bringing back Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, there's no reason to bring either one of them back.
Nah.
You know,
it's going to cost.
Yeah, and it might not cost anything. Yeah, it might as well just go ahead and move along and move on from that and everything. But, yeah, I mean, they have got to, and we're going to say it over and over again, as long as we talk Falcons, they need defensive players. They need to find out, go get you some productive veterans, and you got to hopefully that the young guys that are on your roster right now, they're going to be at another level, and then you draft some other guys, and hopefully they can shoot. Like, they're going to have to get rookie contributions.
Oh, yeah.
Good rookie contributions from this draft class.
100%.
You know what I mean? And so you got to get there. You scout the scouts and Terry and everybody else. They got to get these picks right, because they need immediate contributions from the rookies that they draft, and it better be defense.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. I mean, the first 2 days of the draft have to be defense. I guess, unless you decide you want to do something on the right side of the offensive line. And still, my priority over that personally is defense.
Or maybe a corner. If a corner's there, maybe. Oh, that is defense.
Yeah, that is defense.
I'm thinking more interior. Interior part.
Yeah, if you want to get fancy and take a corner, that's fine, because that's still defense. You can get me on board with that one. Because again, like, remember last year, you know, so many folks that were advocating against, almost everybody was like, all right, take a defensive player. You're going to have your pick. I know that maybe this isn't the greatest draft for edge rushers, whatever, for D linemen, but, you know, one of these guys is going to be pretty good. Jared Verse, pretty damn good.
Damn,
you know what I mean?
Like, sure,
I understand they went with the quarterback and all that, but, like, even in a draft where everyone tells you none of these guys are, well, I don't know, you just have to be good enough at evaluating to find the one that actually is, and then pick him and develop him and put him around good players and all that kind of stuff. But somebody's going to be there at 15. Who's going to be a major impact defensive lineman in the NFL next year?
And you better get him.
You just got to get him.
That's it.
This is what it is. You just got to get him.
You got to get him, and you got to do, you know, you got to coach given ability, but you got to coach what's not in that guy given ability. And that's how you talk about developing into a great player. Because, I mean, the guy given ability is why you're there, but you got to refine those skills at this level, because you just can't run past everybody. You just can't run over everybody. You got to learn tricks of the trade. And, you know, when you look at a defensive lineman, it's you come into the league as so gifted as far as your pass rush ability, able to bend, but these damn linemen have been around. You know what they've seen? They've seen bend. They've seen speed. You got to have different rush and know how to pass rush and all those different things. And that's also – but, yeah, they got to get immediate impact players at the top of the draft.
Yeah, they need it'll be interesting to see who's even retained, you know, because there's obviously the one-year guys, like you mentioned, with Simmons and Judon. I'd be surprised if either one of them are back.
Me too.
There's guys that you can move on from and save a little bit of money on that defensive line as well. Like, Onyemata didn't have the greatest year. That's a potential – cap casualty. Be interesting to see if there's some restructure candidates on that side of the ball as well, because they're going to have to get creative with the money to try to get out there and do some stuff in free agency. And again, obviously the biggest elephant in the room is, what are you going to do with Kirk Cousins, and how are you going to try to make that, like, the least bad? Because it's going to be bad. Like, you're going to have to eat some of that money, but you have to make it the least bad situation.
Right.
Which I think is a post-June 1, right?
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm trying to think, like, how the hell you do that? Like, Kurt.
Well, if you keep him, like all these people talking about keeping him as the backup, like, you know how much extra money that's going to cost?
I'm just saying, why do that?
I don't know.
You're going to have to eat it anyways.
Why do what?
Eat the money.
Well, no, but if you cut him, then you get a little, you don't have to eat as much.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, why? I don't understand the folks either.
Yeah, you got to do everything you can to try to make the checkbook balance, man.
Man.
This hour has been brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. We'll come back. We'll get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.